I want to focus our attention tonight upon the term which the Lord uses in verse number 3 of this chapter. It is one word in particular. It is the word covenant. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. It is a term that relates to God's promise. When we talk about a covenant, we're talking about a covenant that is a promise or a pledge, an agreement that God makes with man. It's a vital term. The entire revelation of the Bible, the entire message of the Bible is centered upon this term, covenant. That's what the Bible is all about. What is our Bible divided into? It is divided into the Old Testament and the New Testament. The word testament is but another way of saying covenant. It is translated covenant in various places. It means one and the same thing. The covenant is the gospel. The gospel is the covenant that God refers to in this text. That covenant is the way that God has chosen to be reconciled to sinful men and women. It is this covenant that provides salvation, pardon, and everlasting life. Outside of this covenant, there is no salvation. Salvation is revealed and provided only within the parameters of this covenant. This covenant forms the sum and substance of all gospel ministry. Wherever there is true gospel ministry, it will be the ministry of this covenant. The Apostle Paul, writing in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3 and verse 6, describes every Christian minister as a minister of the New Testament, the minister of the New Covenant. Christian ministers are called to proclaim and present this covenant that God has revealed in His Word. God says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. When we understand this covenant, when we grasp it, when we believe it and receive it, it is then and only then that we will understand, grasp, believe, and receive God's salvation. Notice first of all the author of this covenant. The Lord is speaking. He says in this verse, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The Lord is the author of this covenant. This is God's covenant with man. It's not the other way round. It's not man's covenant with God, but God's covenant with man. Now there's many who would like to think that they can make a covenant with God, that they can agree with God based on their own terms. There's many who think that they will enter heaven, the kingdom of heaven, based on the covenant that they have made with God, based on a covenant of their own making. There are some who think they will enter heaven based on their good works. They will come to God like the publican did in the temple, and they will say, Lord, I'm not like other men. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I have. I've done this, that, and the other thing. And on the basis of what I have done, receive and accept me into heaven. Ah, no. Man is not the author of this covenant. God is the author. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The covenant is not open for negotiation. It is based upon terms that God Himself has established. It is God's terms upon which He will pardon and save fallen sinners. It is God's terms upon which He will be reconciled to us and bring us into His favor again. That's the first point that you must notice here. It is God who makes the covenant. It is God who initiates salvation. It is God who enters into covenant with man. He is under no obligation to save any sinner. God is absolutely just to take every sinner and condemn every sinner to everlasting perdition. He would be absolutely just. We have no claim upon the favor of God. We have forfeited God's favor by our sin. Our only hope of salvation, our only hope of redemption and deliverance, is if God is willing to make a covenant of salvation with us. And God says in this verse, I will make an everlasting covenant, an everlasting promise, an everlasting pledge, an everlasting agreement. I have made this covenant, God says. Not only the author of the covenant, I want you to consider the provision that is found or made in this covenant. Look at that word, mercies. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. What does this covenant consist of? What does it comprise? What is it made up of? What does it contain? What does God promise to man? What does God pledge to man? What does God agree to do for man? You'll notice here this covenant. This covenant provides mercy. Now the term is in the plural. Even the sure mercies of David. And therefore it denotes the idea of the fullness of mercy. Mercy in its entirety. Mercy to the full. Everything that is required is promised in this covenant. Everything to take fallen, guilty sinners and lift them out of their fallen estate, reconcile them to God, bring them everlastingly into God's presence. Everything that is required is provided in this covenant. It is a covenant in which God promises mercy to sinners. Look at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. This is the covenant of grace. Unmerited favor. This is the covenant in which God pledges to be merciful to sinners. And I've often described the difference between grace and mercy. Grace is when God gives us what we do not deserve. Mercy is when He withholds from us what we do deserve. All that is needed for our salvation is provided in this great covenant pledge, this great covenant agreement that God makes with man. You'll notice that these mercies are described as sure. even the sure mercies of God, of David. What does that term sure mean? It simply means that God is real and sincere in his offer. He is serious. He is earnest. These are sure mercies. God cannot lie when he promises to be merciful to sinners. That mercy is sure. It is certain. Because God is real and sincere in his offer. He is faithful. He cannot renege upon his promise. When God promises to do something, then he will do it. When he says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, then he will be merciful to their unrighteousness. These are sure mercies. There's many things in this world and in this life which are not sure. We're not sure if we will wake up to another day. We're not sure if we will have health tomorrow. When men make promises, it's safe to say that we're not sure whether they will keep those promises. The sad history of the world of mankind is that of broken promises. The promises of men are not sure, but here is something that is absolutely sure. Even the sure mercies of David. What about that little phrase at the end of David? What does that mean? Some think that the mercies here related are those which God promised to David, to King David. For instance, if you turn back to Psalm 89. Psalm 89 and verse 24. The Lord is speaking about David. He says in verse 20, I have found David my servant. Then he says in verse 24, but my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. God's promise to David was the promise of mercy. And in my name shall his horn be exalted. Verse 28, my mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. The same mercy that God promised to David is promised to all men in the gospel. But it goes a lot further than that. The sure mercies of David goes much further than a mere reference to King David, the son of Jesse. The name David in the Hebrew language has a wonderful meaning. Literally, it means beloved. Beloved. And when you take that translation of the name and you read it into the text, I think it shows you how much further it goes. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of the beloved one. And who is the beloved one? It is none other than Christ. You remember that day when the Lord Jesus came to the River Jordan to be baptized of John to fulfill all righteousness on account of his people? And John eventually complied, and when the Lord Jesus went down into the water and came up out of the water, the heavens opened. The voice of God was heard, and God said, "This is my beloved Son." You know what God was saying in the Hebrew? This is my David. This is my David. The beloved one. the beloved Son. And when God makes this statement in Isaiah 55, He is showing us that the provision of this covenant is that of mercy. And that mercy is sure because God is real and true and sincere in His offer of it. And it is also sure because it flows from the person and the work of God's beloved Son. This mercy, the fullness of mercy, is provided on account of Christ. He is the trustee. He is the guarantee and the guarantor of these mercies that God promises. They are absolutely sure because they have been purchased by Christ at Calvary, by His sinless life and by His atoning death, on account of His life and death, on the basis of Christ's life, death, and resurrection, God promises to sinful man the offer of mercy. And that mercy is absolutely sure. What provision there is. I don't have time to take this term mercies, it's in the plural. But I'm going to do this in the will of God on Sunday night. I want us to consider what these mercies are that are provided and promised in the covenant of the gospel. We could be here for a very long time. We could be here until eternity, because these are everlasting mercies. His mercy endures forever. What a subject it is. But I'm just laying the foundation tonight. The author of this covenant, the provision of this covenant. But notice finally the duration of this covenant. God says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. It's everlasting. What does that mean? Well, it's everlasting in its conception. This covenant that God makes with sinful men goes back to eternity. It was formed before the foundation of the world, before the fall of man. And even before man's creation, God had already made this covenant. It's the everlasting covenant. The Apostle Paul speaks of it. The Lord Jesus brought again from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And what that means is that before God spoke these words to fallen sinful men, the covenant was already made between God the Father and God the Son. Before man was created, before man sinned against God and fell from righteousness, before man was placed under the curse of a broken law, a Savior had already been provided. The Lord Jesus is referred to as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The sacrifice already provided before the sin had been committed. And therefore this covenant is everlasting. It's everlasting in its conception. It's everlasting in its content. Its content remains the same, unchanging and unchangeable. As it was in the beginning, so it is now and forevermore. The terms of salvation are the same tonight as they were when Adam first fell. And the gospel covenant was revealed to fallen Adam. It's an everlasting covenant. It is the same all the way through time. Some people like to think that the way of salvation has changed from period to period, epoch to epoch, not so. The covenant is an everlasting covenant. Adam was saved the very same way that you and I can be saved. By grace, through faith, in God's beloved Son. It's the same salvation. Because it's an everlasting covenant. An everlasting covenant. There's a very practical application to that. It applies within the setting of the home. In the home, perhaps a father is saved, a mother saved. And there was a time when mother, father had to come to that point where in acknowledging their sin they had to trust Christ and receive Him as their Savior. Receive the promise of God and the gospel by faith and they were saved. And that very same covenant applies to their offspring, to their children. If their children are to be saved, they must come exactly the same way. By trusting Christ and receiving Him. As He is revealed and offered to sinners in the gospel. This is an everlasting covenant from generation to generation. It is the same. But it's also everlasting in its consequence. The blessings of this covenant are everlasting in their nature. They cannot be revoked or withdrawn, and they will not be revoked or withdrawn. God says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. He enters into a covenant that He will never break. And He will never renege upon a covenant to show mercy to all who come to Him through Christ. In other words, He is saying, all who come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. And I will never cast them out. I will never turn them away. But what happens if a Christian sins? Does that change the terms of the covenant? Turn back to Psalm 89 again. This is a very real problem because Christians do sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It's something that often plagues Christians when they are made aware of sin. In their heart and in their life. It's often brought great trouble, anguish. Have they been cast out of the covenant, cut off from the covenant? Well, the answer is this, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. And what did God say in Psalm 89? This is the covenant. My mercy, verse 28, will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. Did David sin? Yes. Did his sin cut him off from the covenant of grace and mercy? No. But let's apply it to Christ. If we take the term David here as a type of Christ, as a type of the Beloved, this is God's covenant with His Son. Verse 29, His seed also will I make to endure forever, and His throne as the days of heaven. That's why I believe this refers to Christ. David's only the earthly type. The picture here is Christ. In verse 30, if His children forsake My law and walk not in My judgments, if they break My statutes and keep My commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, My loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer My faithfulness to fail. even sin in the life of a believer in union with Christ, does not break or destroy the covenant or cut off the Christian from the mercies that are in the covenant. This is everlasting in its duration. Everlasting. And therefore all the more reason, all the more incentive and motive for a Christian to flee sin and pursue righteousness and holiness. These blessings, God is saying, these benefits, the mercies that God promises and provides that have been purchased by Christ's death at Calvary, these blessings and benefits in the gospel covenant are bestowed eternally. Paul says in Romans, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. In other words, God will never repent of the gift that he's given. He will never call it back again. When he gives salvation, he gives it eternally. When he gives forgiveness, he gives it eternally. When he gives eternal life, he gives life that is eternal. And my sheep will never perish. This is the covenant. It is everlasting in its conception. It's everlasting in its content. It's everlasting in its consequence. What a covenant it is. Does it not thrill your soul tonight? Remember what I said at the beginning? Outside the parameters of this covenant, there is no salvation. It is only on the basis of this covenant that God has made with sinful men that sinful men and women can be saved. How then will you respond to this covenant offer that God makes to you? I trust it will be the response that is outlined in verse 3. Incline your ear and come on to me. Hear and your soul shall live. God says, I will make an everlasting covenant. I will covenant with you tonight. I will enter into an agreement. I will pledge with you. I will covenant to be merciful. And it's much more than that. He covenants to be our God and to take us as his people. And we will look at the full import of that. This is what God is saying to you tonight. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Will you incline your ear? Will you listen to him? Will you give your ear to hear what God is saying? Only a fool would turn away his ear from what God is saying in his word. A wise woman will respond as God says. Incline your ear and come on to me. Hear and your soul shall live. God will enter into covenant with you to be your God, to be merciful to you on account of Christ, if you will come to him, believe his word, and receive His Son as your Lord and as your Savior. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. May God bless His word to every heart tonight. And in the will of the Lord, we will take a little time to consider these mercies that God covenants to give fallen sinners. Let's turn in closing in our hymn book to 287.